Hi, everybody. This is Pam coming to you from the podcast Women Who Stutter Our Stories. That can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering, and it's also freely downloadable on iTunes. Today, as always, I have the opportunity and pleasure to hear from another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I'd like to say a big hello to Lisa. Hey, Lisa, how's it going?
Hi, Pam. Pretty good.
Yeah, great. I'm really excited to have this conversation with you because we've known each other for a couple of years now, both through some of the stuttering email groups, and we've met at one of the National Stuttering Association conferences, but we've really never got much of a chance to really get to know each other. So I'm psyched about this. So to get us started, could you introduce yourself and tell us formally who you are and where you're from and what you do with yourself?
Sure. Well, I'm Lisa Bennett, and I'm a speech language pathologist here in Kansas. I grew up around the Wichita area and found my first job, just an hour and a half away in a small town called Emporia. And, let's see, what else did you want to know?
How long have you been a speech language pathologist?
Oh, I just graduated last December, and so I'm in my clinical fellowship year. So I don't yet have those famous C's that all the speech pathologists have. So. So that your clinical fellowship year just means that you spend your first year being supervised, and so after about 9 months in the working in the public schools, then I'll have my C's.
All right, amazing. So that's where you work. You're working in a school.
Yes.
How do you like it?
Well, there was a time that I never pictured myself working in the public schools, and that's probably from just growing up stuttering. I had a lot of fear and anxiety when I attended public schools, and so I thought, oh, this is the last place on earth that I will ever end up.
How did that happen to be, that's where you are?
Well, in my program, I had to do a medical practicum and a school, a public school practicum. And I enjoyed both, but I enjoyed the school atmosphere more in that I felt like there were more goals that you could shoot for and try to see results because in the medical setting sometimes results depending on their age they're not always as realistic and I had fun working with the kids, which surprised me as well.
What age group are you working with?
I've got preschool students and all the way up to high school. So I've got middle or preschool and elementary and then middle school students and then a few high school students.
And do any of them stutter?
I have one student on my caseload out of 46 that stutters, but stuttering typically makes up a fourth of a school speech path's caseload, but there are a couple more students that I see that I think have issues with stuttering, although on their IEPs, were the previous therapist and the one before that, did not address it, so it's not an issue at this time. But I've got a good ear though, so and I can tell the normal fluent person stuttering from the true stuttering.
So, what made you decide to become a speech language pathologist, especially since you mentioned yourself that, you had a hard time when you were a kid, a lot of anxieties and stuff. What made you decide to take the plunge and, get into this profession?
Well, stuttering runs on both sides of my family, so on my mom's side and my dad's side.
Really? Wow.
And what's funny is that if it was so common, then how come I grew up with a family that never talked about it, and it was taboo, and whenever my dad would bring it up, like just the hair on the back of my neck would stand up, and I'd get a chill in my spine, and I didn't want to talk about it at all.
Wow. Now wait, that's really weird. Now you said it runs on in your family on both sides. So who else in your family stuttered?
My mom's brother and sister. She has seven sisters and two brothers, and she recalled. Well, and this aunt of mine still stutters, I guess, although I've never heard her stutter. So I'm just taking my mom's word for it. But she said one of her sisters and one of her brothers stutter. And then my dad stutters himself, and then, well, I guess this is not a blood relative, but his brother in-law, he has issues too. Although he doesn't call himself a person who stutters, so I don't know about that, but I'll just say it's on both sides of my family.
And yet, even with your dad stuttering in the same household with you, it was not talked about very much.
Right, and you know what? I've put it together, and he and my sisters did not even know he stuttered until they were just in that preteen age, because my dad always tried to hide it. So he did not have a healthy attitude, towards his stuttering, and so then I grew, well, and so that made it whenever he would bring it up to me, it would always be when it was just me and him, like driving in the car or just in his room behind a closed door, and yeah, I just remember just not wanting him to bring it up because I thought I would cry.
Oh, okay. What about with your sisters and your mom? I mean, what did they what was their reaction to your stuttering? Did they ever bring it up? Were they supportive?
I'm sure everybody has, or well, everyone who has siblings has experienced, a sibling giving them a hard time. And so, yeah, so my older sister, I do recall her mocking me a couple of times, but not after that. And but no, actually, my two younger sisters stuttered until they were, probably 11 or 12, and then they were just in that fortunate group that just grew out of it. And my mom, she, I and this actually told me, it said a lot about my parents' marriage, because my mom never understood my dad's stuttering. She never understood how he felt, and so therefore, she didn't know where I was coming from. And at one point, she thought, and that this was as my teenage years went on, I was 16 years old, and my speech had just I had a relapse my junior year of high school, where it was where I went from, covert, doing everything I could to hide it from my friends and family, my teachers, to not being able to suppress it anymore. It got to the point where to not stutter meant to not talk. And so I went through a really quiet phase, and then one day, I was explaining something to my mom. She was asking me a question, and she said, now, and I don't mean to talk badly about my mom. I love her, but it's just, we didn't have communication. And she accused me of lying. And at that point, I thought, okay, there's a problem here.
Was it about, something that didn't have anything to do with stuttering, but she thought because you were stuttering, you were lying? Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that hurt. And but she and I she and I have talked about it since. And I started to have a lot of therapy in my junior year of high school, because I had therapy as a kid, from preschool up to about fifth grade, and I guess, I was dismissed, and I guess my parents thought it was not an issue for me anymore, and I was feeding them that thinking, because I was doing everything I could to hide it.
Oh, and why were you dismissed from their therapy?
My therapist said, well, Lisa, you don't stutter anymore.
Oh boy. So you kind of graduated.
Oh yeah, and yeah, and and when she s said that, I was thinking, if you only knew. But at that age, I wasn't going to just tell her my feelings about my speech.
So you were so you were like I was for so long, the classic co co covert that nobody knew, and that, you know, you considered yourself a success when you were able to keep it hidden. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yes.
Yeah. So what was your defining moment? I mean, when did you decide isn't enough is enough, and I can't take this anymore, and I'm just gonna, stutter?
Oh, well, you know, I got tired of walking on eggshells, just around people. And you actually said something. Yeah, just you had said something in the past, and it was something along the lines of, you know, when you're not portraying your authentic self, it's an not being a true conversation partner. I mean, it's difficult for other people to know who you are, and even for you to know who you are.
Wow, that's pretty profound. I said that.
Yes. Well, and I don't remember what well, yes, you had given a presentation at a NSA conference, and yeah, and that oh yes, that was in your presentation, like letting it all hang out. You said
Oh, yes. I forgot you were there. I forgot that's where we actually first met, I
yeah,
think. Yeah.
that was in Arizona, Scottsdale. But
So that resonated with you?
oh, well, yes, and when you're covert, you know, you're not being honest, and that weighs on you, because you're trying to come across as a fluent speaker. You will alter your message, so you'll stutter less. You'll even alter your personality, so you'll stutter less. And I got so tired of that. And so when I finally decided to go ahead and talk, even though, you know, this was at a time of my life where my speech was very difficult, it was just well worth the satisfaction of finally saying exactly what was on my mind, and that helped me feel like a just more of a whole person. And that's what I think, you know, started my journey with openness.
Isn't it amazing? Doesn't it feel great to just, be who you are and just, just not worry about, covering up or just, you just, just like the title of that presentation was, you're just letting it all hang out.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got your presentation filed away, so I can just, I mean, it your that was just something that I really liked.
Oh, well, thank you. That was actually the first presentation that I had done at a NSA conference besides the year before being on the covert panel. And I remember feeling really empowered by doing that presentation because for me it was really real. I don't, now that I'm talking about it, I remember I got emotional a couple times during the presentation because, I was being so honest. And, but I think that's what made that pre 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 presentation so successful. Both myself and my partner that was also co-facilitating, we were both very honest. And I think that was a real turning point for me as well, sharing with other people who stutter, and there were SLPs in the audience as well, how empowering it can be to just let all that other stuff go and just be who you are. So I'm glad to hear that somebody like got something out of that, and that was quite a while ago. Yeah, awesome. So did you ever experience people not knowing what to do with this side of you all of a sudden? Like you went from like a completely different person, like, and did anybody ever say like, wow, like I didn't even know you stuttered, and like, and kind of like feel like people didn't know how to react to you?
Yes, yeah, that happened in high school. My friends were, they knew the fluent me, and then all of a sudden it's like I had this identity, change, and then and one friend, and she said something, and she was not trying to offend me, but this was her take on it. She said, have you ever thought that it might just be all in your head? And
Oh, wow.
she wasn't saying it to be malicious, but she just thought, wow, you've changed. And she no, nobody knows anything about stuttering, so she was trying to figure it out for herself. And I just thought, like, why would I, go around, just like, why would I have this drastic change in my life for nothing? And I mean, I'm not psycho.
Exactly.
Yes, and and it was, it affected me too, because you're it's a sh it's a shock even to yourself that things have changed, and it's difficult to adjust, and you don't adjust overnight. I carried this into college, where just I discovered in college, as many people who stutter do, that sometimes when you drink, that can help your fluency. And so like and so like m Monday through Friday, I would and encounter just my friends on the dorm floor, and I'd be stuttering severely, and then come Friday or Saturday night, when we would all hang out, I would suddenly not have any problem talking, and they just thought, what is going on? And so I can't blame, some people for thinking, is this psychological? Yeah, so.
But you're right. I mean, why would somebody pretend to stutter, or not even pretend, that's not the right word, but why would somebody choose to stutter as a reaction to whatever, stress or nervousness or anxiety? I mean, it's so clearly something that we can't control, and it just happens. But you're right, if people don't understand it, they think it's due to a number of reasons that are not valid.
Right.
So what about college? Was it tough for you? I mean, did people accept who you for who you are? Did you have any of the elementary or high school, teasing, mocking, any of that stuff? Did that happen in college?
No. It would depend on the setting, but if I was in, in classes or just in the dorm, people were more, I felt that people were more accepting in college than they were in high school, and overall, I think that's true. People just think that, oh, it's time to grow up. But my freshman year was difficult because I was starting college with a severe stutter, and to go away to college is hard enough, and then when it's a challenge to talk to people, that just compounds it. But lots of people were friendly, and so just, I mean, it was an improvement, but there were times that were rocky too.
So I'm not sure that you fully answered or if I fully understand. So what made you choose speech pathology as your major?
Okay, well, I actually started off as a speech pathology major when I was a freshman in college, and I was a freshman in the year 2000. So I started off, majoring in a SLP, and then I was just I was not fully accepting of myself yet, and I was not taking responsibility for my speech, and so just basically stuttering was telling me I couldn't do it, and I was at a point in my life where I listened to what stuttering was telling me, and so I changed. After my freshman year, after I took some intro classes, I changed my major to computer science.
Oh, wow.
So if you can think about my reasoning for that, let's see. I changed from a field all about talking to where I thought I would do minimal talking. And so I took a few computer science classes, and I was even considering jumping to accounting. And then I just, at some point, I just realized, okay, I thought of the reasons behind why I was considering those, and I realized that I wouldn't be happy in those fields. And I finally changed my undergrad major to psychology because I was genuinely interested in the subject of psychology, but I also knew that I wasn't interested in counseling people. So I went ahead and graduated, and so I just worked jobs that stuttering picked for me, and I didn't have a clear direction for a while, for about 2 years, and then I finally realized that I did want to go into a field where I would be talking. I wanted to squash stuttering, and so what better than to be in a job where you're continually challenging yourself, and you're growing continuously.
Wow, you know, you're like giving me chills as I listen to this because this is like incredibly insightful. Did you just come to all of this yourself, or was it like the psychology classes maybe that helped you, helped in your self-actualization or helped you decide that, I got to do what's right for me? I mean, it's like really interesting to just hear that, you almost kind of like had this self-therapy with yourself.
I think that comes from just a lot of, from being quiet and not talking a lot. You kind of, you reflect, you're observing, your circumstances and just, your life. And so I think it came from just thinking a lot. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah. Well, it just sounds like it's a pretty cool process because, and it also sounds very, very similar to what I've gone through myself. I mean, I consider myself to be a completely different person than who I was 5 years ago. Once I made the conscious decision that I was no longer going to try to hide my stuttering and hide me from the world anymore. I'm just a completely different person, and I hardly even recognize her because I'm enjoying life so much more just by being engaged in it. And it almost sounds like that's where you're at as well.
Yeah, I've heard your story, Pam, and it sounds like you went from polar ends as well, and you went through an identity change as well.
I found myself because, she had been lost in the person that had tried to, be quiet at any cost. And, as you know, doing that, you never really allow your true self to engage. And I was this, quiet, submissive person that would allow other people to do everything for me, to now I think somebody that's really strong and independent and enjoys just kind of like being out there engaging with the world and exploring new things. And yeah, like I just think that I'm a a different person and a better person. Probably still the core of me is the same, but I just never knew that until I allowed that part to come out. So yeah, I do find that I kind of have like a different identity, and I like her so much better than the person that that I was. And you seem to be able to relate to that.
Yeah, isn't it great when you feel like you're being who you were meant to be?
It is. It is. And it's also great to also realize that it is, a lifelong learning process. Because like one of the things that I discovered along the way was not only was I covert about stuttering, but I was also extremely covert about being emotional and also letting my true feelings out about a lot of things. Because when you're quiet, just as you know, you're quiet about everything. So I'm still in the process of, being genuine and authentic with how I react to things. And sometimes I react too strongly to things because for so long I didn't react at all. And to realize that that is a lifelong learning process is actually kind of exciting because I know that there's always going to be new things that I'm going to encounter and learn about myself. And then when you share that with other people, then you find that other people are learning things too. And that's what keeps life fresh and exciting, I guess.
Yeah, I would have to agree.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, do you find yourself more emotionally responsive and emotionally in tune with the world than you were when you were trying so hard not to stutter?
Yes. That's a good question, actually. I just like, what do you mean exactly by that?
Well, I guess I'm more willing these days to let my emotions show. Like, if something moves me, I tend to well up and cry pretty easily. Whereas I would never allow myself to do that because I, equated that as being a sign of weakness, like I thought stuttering was as well. If I'm upset or angry about something, I can sort of let that be known. I mean, I'm still not very good at showing anger, but I never used to be able to do that. And I just find that, being open in general, particularly with stuttering, but with life, also allows me to be emotionally open to things around me, and it allows me to just have better encounters and relationships with other people. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. I guess when a long time ago, when I felt like I had to hide a part of myself, then it was hard for me to connect to other people and acknowledge their emotions, and then when I started to be more open about myself, then I felt like I could connect emotionally more with people and see things from their perspective.
Yeah. And then it's kind of like there's the real give and take between the two people instead of it just always being one-sided, which I felt was kind of me when I was, being so covert. Everything was one-sided because I wasn't giving anything.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, so things have changed considerably, and I imagine that they have as well for you also. So are you open with your stuttering in your role as an SLP in the in the schools?
Yes, and there's two ways of being open. I could be open as far as just letting my stuttering rip and having it out there, but it's another thing to just be like in holding the reins and saying, okay, yes, I can't hide my stuttering, but I'm showing that I'm using it to my, you know, just I'm being open, but I'm in control. So it's not like, oh, here's my stuttering, and I'm at the mercy of this thing. It's just, you know, I'm going to use it. I don't know. Does that make sense?
It does, because it kind of goes back to something that you said earlier. Stuttering was making your decisions for you at one point in your life. And now it sounds like you're being open with your stuttering, but stuttering is not in charge. Lisa's in charge.
Right. Yeah, and you know, with the parents at the who have kids at the elementary level, you know, I just choose to not go into it, you know, scared and like like my stuttering is this terrible thing that's getting in the way of my helping their child, and it's something that I can use, you know, to help their child.
Have you ever had a parent, you know, say anything like, gee, I don't think she's the best therapist to help my kid? I mean, has that ever happened, or have you ever thought somebody was thinking that?
No, well, I've actually not encountered any rude parents in my job this year. And I realize that parents want the best for their kids, and I can understand that, and so I do keep their concerns in mind, and so I just make it my responsibility to educate them about stuttering. And when I make calls, you know, to parents about scheduling IEP meetings or just to ask them if they have any other concerns about their child, I'll be upfront. I'll disclose my stuttering to them. I say it's a big reason why I chose to enter this field, and I've even had a parent say that they thought that people who stutter make better therapists because they've lived the experience of what it's like to have a communication disorder.
How did you feel when you heard that?
I felt great. I have a former professor who was actually my therapist in grad school, and he came off with a very good analogy that I thought was great, and I'm going to keep it in my back pocket in case I do have a challenging parent, and he just said that a person who stutters being a speech therapist is kind of like a coach for a sports team, and that's in that some of the best coaches out there were not necessarily always the best players, but you don't have to be great at doing something in order to be great at teaching it. And because you understand how the game is played.
That's perfect.
I know it. It's fun.
That is perfect. That makes so much sense.
Yes.
Yeah. And what about your colleagues, other SLPs that you work with? Is it an issue? Does it come up? I mean, or is it just, business as usual?
It's a business as usual. I work in a co-op. It's like a service area for Eastern Kansas, and so I've got five schools. So I drive around to five schools. So I met a lot of teachers, a lot of principals, a lot of just colleagues, and they I've not had any problem with acceptance. Especially the other speech therapists, they're all great and very accepting.
That's awesome. It definitely, that's just really awesome. I'm so proud of you. It just seems like you've come such a long way in such a short period of time, and it sounds like you're really happy with where you've gone and what you've done. And it sounds like Lisa is happy with Lisa. I can hear that in your voice, and that's so exciting.
Well, and if you think about it, it might have taken 10 years, but I found out what what I like to do, it's a job that doesn't 100% feel like work, because I feel like it's what I know, and I don't hate stuttering anymore. There was a time where I hated stuttering, and so I thought, so I thought automatically that other people would hate it too. They would not tolerate or accept it, and that's not a fun place to be. It's
You're
not
right.
very healthy attitude.
Yeah. Well, it definitely sounds like you've come a long way. And you mentioned the 10 years part twice. Some people spend their entire life and they don't find out what it is that they want to do or should be doing. So 10 years in a lifetime is a drop in the bucket. And, you should consider yourself lucky that it's only taken you 10 years to find what some people never find. Right?
Well, it seems like a long time to me, but when you put it that way, yeah, I mean, it was worth it, and yeah.
Some people are pushing the rock up the mountain their entire life, and it only took you 10 years to find something that you just said doesn't seem like work. So to me, that sounds like a pretty cool gig.
Yeah.
I am so glad we had this conversation. And look, isn't it amazing how fast the time flew?
Yes.
It's like amazing. And I am so grateful that you were willing to share with us this part of your story. I suspect there's more to the story, but we just didn't get to it today.
Yeah.
And thank you, Lisa, for sharing, because a lot of people, both women who stutter and SLPs who stutter and who don't. I think a lot of people are going to be touched by your story. So thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome, and just thank you for asking me on your show.
Yeah, it was a good choice. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.